The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Lech Lecha. In the Parsha, in Perek Desvot, Pasuk Aleph, Achad Vorim Ha'ele. This is after Abraham waged war together with the five kings against the four kings, and he saved his nephew Lot. Hayadvar Hashem al Avraham b'machazeh lemor. Hashem came to Abraham in a prophecy, and he said, Al tira Avraham anechi mogen loch schor chahar b'miyad. You do not have to be afraid. Rashi explains Abraham was afraid because he had killed people in the war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed miracles for him. And Hashem said, you do not have to fear. I will protect you, and you have great reward coming. Vayim Avraham, Hashem Elokim Atiten Li. Avraham said, what can you give me? V'anechi Ha'ilech Hariri. I am childless. Uben Meshik Beisi Huda Mesik Eliezer. And the one that cares for all my belongings is my servant Eliezer. He was from Damascus. Naim Avram Hein Li Leinosato Zoravi Neven Beisi Eri Sheisi. You have not given me any child. And my servant will be the one who will inherit me. And Hashem said, Lo yirosh chozeh, ki mashiyetzi mimecho hu yiroshecho. He will not inherit you. But the child that will go out from your loins, he will inherit you. Vayetzei se'achutze vayemar habet ma'ashomayimo. And he took Abraham outside and he said, look at the heavens, usfora kechovim, count the stars, im tuchal lispor esom, vayemele keyezarecho. Just like it's impossible to count the stars, so shall it be with your seed. The sages say that he took Abraham above the stars, that Abraham was born under a certain mazel, under a certain star. And it was decreed by his mazel that he would be childless. Kodesh Baruch Hu took him above the stars, and he said that I am stronger than the mazel, and you will have a child, and from your child will come forth multitudes. Ko yezarecho. Ve'emin ba'ashem v'yachsheveho leilich. And he believed him. Abraham believed Hashem, and Hashem considered this as a very righteous deed. Now, after that, we come to another topic. Hashem told Abraham, I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you this land, Eretz Yisrael, which will be an inheritance for your children. Vayomar, Hashem Elokim b'amo eda ki iroshenu. And on that, Abraham said, how do I know that I will inherit this land? The Chazal sages say, what does it mean? How do I know? Give me some type of guarantee. So here, Abraham did not believe so easily. When it came to Besuras Habonim, that Hashem said, you will have children, he believed. When it came to Besuras Ha'oretz, that you will have the land of Israel, He did not believe. Then it states further, which is a strange parsha, it's a strange topic here. Hashem said, Gecholi egla mishuleshes, ve'ez mishuleshes, ve'ayl mishulesh, ve'sor ve'gezol. Hashem commanded him to take three calves, three goats, and three rams. This was a total of nine animals. And the nine animals, the Medrash says, Rashi brings, represented nine different sacrifices. There are three animals that are kosher for sacrifices. And one is the from the cattle, one is from the goats, one is from the sheep. And from each animal there are three different types of sacrifices. So Hashem told him to take three from each, and then the store of a gezol. Another type of sacrifice is the bird, the turtle dove and the dove. Take that also. And you shall take that, take them. And by vater esor batovich, you shall split them down the middle, and you shall line them up where one half faces the other. But vesat zipor levosor, he lined them up this way, but the bird he did not split. Vayered ha'ayet ala pagorim, then a bird like a vulture came over the dead animals and he wanted to eat them. Vayashe v'isom Avram, and Avram chased him away. Vayhi Hashem ishlovei, then it was coming that the sun was going to come up, v'sardemon noflo al Avram, and a heavy sleep fell on Avraham. V'hinei emach hashecha gedele nefeles olav, and he saw a great fear and a great darkness. And Hashem said to Avraham, Yodoa teida ki ger yezach v'eres le'lohem, you should surely know that you will be a stranger in a land which is not yours. Vavodum vinu oisom, and your seed will be a stranger in a land which is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and afflicted 400 years. This was a prophecy to the going down of Egypt. But I shall also in the end take retribution against this nation, and afterwards they will go out with your children will go out with mighty wealth. But you will not see this, you will go to your fathers in peace. Rashi explains that Terach, his father, will do tshuva, will repent. So Abraham, when he dies, he will have that peace of mind. And tikover b'seva tova, and you will die a good death. The Medrash Rashi brings, that means that you will die before Esav, your grandson, will go in the wrong path, and your son from Hogar, Ishmael, will also do tshuva. Dorevi yeshuva heino, and after your children will come down to Egypt, they will stay there for three generations. The fourth generation will return here, because I cannot give you the land yet. Vayi Hashemesh bo, now the sun came up, ba'alot ohoyo, but it was still dark. Vinei sanur oshon v'lapid esh, and Abraham saw a furnace full of smoke and fire, tongues of fire, Asherova ben Akzorim Eila, that came through the two pieces of each animal. This represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was a covenant. And what they made, a covenant was the agreement between two parties. Well, this was an agreement between Hashem and Avram. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked through the split animals. And on that day, the covenant was contracted between Hashem and Avram, saying, that I will give to you seed this land, all the way minam Yitzrayim, anoragol na'pros, from the river that goes into Egypt until the river Pros, and all of the nations that live here now. The Torah lists off all of the nations. Now this was all an answer to the second question when Hashem said that I will give you Eretz Yisrael, how do I know that I will be able to inherit it? It's a strange parsha. What was all of this that was going on? Also, we have here the prophecy that the children will go down to Egypt, which we've spoken about many times in the past, but we won't go into that this evening. And let's see if we can get some insights into this. There's a great deal of midrashim on this. Medrash Rabbah Perek here in Lech Lecha, Parshas Mem Dalet, Eishud Zayin Yudkes Chof and Chof Dalet. And the Maral goes into great length in this, in the Sefer Gvuras Hashem Perches, which we will draw from. Now the Medrash says a few interpretations in this. But firstly, it brings in Oshud Zayin. Rabbi Bar Chanino Omalei ki kere tagor elo Omalei be'ezus chus. When Avraham asked Hashem, how do I know that I will inherit it? He wasn't suspecting or not trusting Hashem, but he wanted to know be'ezus chus, with what merit will we get this land? Omalei, so Hashem answered be'kaporis. Shani Nation Levanecho. You will get it through the sacrifices. And that's why he showed him Vime Lov Kikoli Eglo Mishuleshes. Herele Gimel Mini Porim, Gimel Mini Seirim, Gimel Mini Elim. He showed him all of the different types of animals that are used for the sacrifices and the different types of sacrifices. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah also says similar to this. Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Omar Rabami, Il Mole Ma'amodes Leiniskaimu Shomayim Va'oretz. If not for the Ma'amodes. The Ma'amodes were during the Beis Hamikdash, there were the korbanos, the sacrifices. But we didn't have the Beis Hamikdash. So the sacrifices are read. They are read from the Torah on the particular time of the sacrifices. If not for this, then leniskayim u'shamayim v'oretz, then heaven and earth would not be able to stand. How do we know? As it states, Im Leibrisi Yemen Valaila Chukas Shamayim Vores Leisamti. Hashem said, it's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, if not for my covenant, day and night, if my covenant would not be fulfilled day and night, so then heaven and earth would not be able to exist. And then it also states, Bayema Hashem Elakim, This parsha of also of a bris. We see here that the covenant was made on the sacrifices. Oma Avram livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram said to Hashem, Shema chas v'sholom Yisrael chayitim lefanecho v'ata eisa lehem kedor amabel u'kedor aflogo. When Hashem said, I will give your children the land, Avram said, but what happens if they become chotim, if they sin, will you do to them like you did to the generation of the flood or the generation of the tower above them, and will you drive them out of the land and they'll never return to the land again? Amalei lav, Hashem said no. Anetash, Avram asked, Bamo Eda, how do I know? The question, how do I know, is Shale Eis. Give me a reason why this will not happen. Amalei, so he answered him, Kecholi Egla Mishuleshes, take the three calves, the three goats, the three sheep, and I will show you why they will not be driven out of, why they will not be driven forever out of the land. Omer lefonov, and that Avram said, Ribeinu shel olam teinak bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. All right, this is good in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. If there'll be chayta, so they'll have the sacrifices for atonement. Bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim ati aleihem. But when the Beis Hamikdash is not standing, so what will be their atonement? Omalei, Hashem answered, Fatikamti lehem seder korbonis. I have already made for them the reading of the sacrifices in the Torah. That's why, for example, when it comes to Yantif, we read in the Sefer Torah the special sacrifices of that particular day. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we read in the Sefer Torah the special sacrifices of that day. And even every day, we might not read in the Sefer Torah, but they had their mamodis. They would study those parshas. Tikanti lehem seder korbonis, kolz man shikorin behen male ani alehem kilo makribim lofanai korban umechal ani al kol avenisechem. That when Israel will read and study these sacrifices, then Hashem says that to me it's as if they have brought these sacrifices, and I will forgive them from their sins. So Hashem asked, Avraham asked, either how do I know that they will merit to inherit the land, or even if they inherit the land, what's the guarantee that the land will be theirs? Because if and when they will sin, then perhaps you will do to them what you did to the Dor HaMabel, the Dor HaFlogo, the other evil generations, and they will lose the land forever. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take all of these animals, and I will make you a covenant through these animals. Because these animals represent the korbanos, the sacrifices. And this will be their guarantee, right, that they will always have Eretz Yisrael. Teinach bisman beis hamikdash. This is good when there's a beis hamikdash, but what happens when there's not? Then they will study the sacrifices, and they will read them in the Sefer Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider as if they have brought the sacrifices, and this will be their merit. This was the covenant. And this is why it states that Ilmole Mamodes, if not for these sacrifices, then Chukas Shemaim Voris Leisamti, my world would not be able to exist. Now, for a little further explanation in this, though, we have to ask two questions. Firstly, we see that when Hashem told Abraham the good news that he would have a child, he believed him. He didn't ask for any reasons or guarantees. But when he came with the Besuras or Oritz, when he told him that you will inherit the land, then was the whole business. How do I know? What's the guarantee? How do we know we'll keep it? Why was the inheritance of the land a greater problem or a greater miracle than that of children? And especially, Avraham knew that he was decreed by his mazel not to have any children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he'll have children, like the multitude of the stars. Secondly, what was the answer to that? Still, Hashem is telling him the reason that they will keep the land or inherit the land. Why are the sacrifices the reason? Now, the answer to these questions is, firstly, when Abraham asked for a child, I have no children. He was asking for a great gift, but not for a great miracle. Because it's the minhag ha'olam. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is for people to have children. So he was not asking for a miracle that will change the nature of the world. And even though he might have known that his mazel decreed otherwise, still, look how many people in the world do have children. And even though Hashem told him, you will have a multitude, there are many nations that grew into multitudes of people, even more than Israel. Lemirubchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose Israel because they are the greatest nation in number. So therefore, he was asking for a great gift, but not something which is totally contrary to the nature of the world that Hashem created. Therefore, when Hashem said, I'll give it to you, he believed him. But when Hashem said, I will give you Esoretz, Eretz Yisrael, to us this would seem as something reasonable. But that's because we do not understand what Eretz Yisrael is. But Abraham that understood what Eretz Yisrael is, he said, "Bamoeda, I cannot accept it. I cannot believe it. I cannot understand why my children will inherit the land, and I cannot understand that if they do inherit the land, how they will be able to retain the land." That to Abraham was a far greater miracle than he who was almost 100 years old that will have a child, and from that child will be kekeichve ashomayim, multitudes like the stars. What's so difficult? What's so difficult about getting Eretz Yisrael? Now, we see Abraham was right. Because what nation in the world has ever held Eretz Yisrael? See, historically, Abraham was right. China, it's no problem for the Chinese to possess it. India, no problem for the Indians to possess it. Every country in the world, there's a nation that possesses it. All right, we have wars. One will try to take it away from the other. But generally, it will remain with those who are the rightful owners. Eretz Yisrael, no one has ever possessed. No one has ever held Eretz Yisrael for uninterrupted times, centuries and centuries, except Klal Yisrael. And even Yisrael, they conquered the land, they were driven out of the land. They came back and conquered it a second time, they were driven out a second time. And the land remained idle, or shifting from nation to nation, for thousands of years. And even now that we've gone back to the land, and we're there almost 50 years, there hasn't been a day without war, without a state of war. Historically, we see Abraham was right. He says, I can't accept it. He says, I can't believe that this land will belong to my children, that they will conquer it. And if they will conquer it, I cannot believe that they will hold it. Because Abraham understood what Eretz Yisrael is, and we do not. That's why to him, it was a wonderful thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. It was a great, the greatest gift you could give me, he said, is that I should have a son. And then I can understand. You say I'll have one, I accept it. But that Eretz Yisrael, this land should belong forever to my children, I can't understand how. And what was so difficult about the land belonging to Eretz Yisrael? Because Abraham understood that Eretz Yisrael is a land that by nature is totally different. Totally different than all other lands in the world. All lands in the world are physical. Eretz Yisrael is physical, but also spiritual. This is why it is called Eretz HaKadosha. It's the only land that's called Eretz HaKadosha, a land which is sanctified. A land shouldn't be sanctified. A land is Eitzim V'Avonim. It is stones. It is dirt. It is trees. How can it become sanctified? Yet Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaKadosha, where its very fabric and nature has an enormous infusion of sanctity. The only land of its kind in the whole world. And this is why its peresech, its fruits are sanctified. We do not find that when you grow crops in other lands, the crops are sanctified. Eretz Yisrael has endless halachos, endless laws on how to deal with its crops and its fruits and its soil. There's a din of Shemitah, the seventh year, that the land has to rest. Understand, there's Shabbos by a person, there's Shabbos by a land. See? There's the Chuma, there's the Bikurim, there's the Maisres, there's the Chala. Endless halachos that have to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael, with what grows from Eretz Yisrael. This is why David HaMelech wrote on Eretz Yisrael. He wrote in Tehillim Kuf Beis, Ki rotzo avodecho es avonecho besaforo yichinenu. He said, your servants, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your servants desire the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Notice how he phrased it. He didn't say they desire to live there. They desire to build homes there. He says they desire avonecho, its stones, the afarecho, and aforo, and its soil. Because Eretz Yisrael, the soil is holy. The stones are holy. And that's why the Gemara brings from this pasuk at the end of Masechet Ksubos, Reb Chiya ben Gamda Nagder ba'afora. When he used to come to Eretz Yisrael, he used to embrace the soil of Eretz Yisrael. Now, because of that, because of this nature in the land, the land can't belong to anyone. It cannot belong to physical people. And because of that, of this nature, the land cannot tolerate contamination, spiritual contamination, spiritual impurities. Other lands can tolerate it because its soil and stones are not Kodesh. But Eretz Yisrael, if there is spiritual trespass in Eretz Yisrael, the land cannot tolerate it. And that's why the Torah tells us in Vayikra Yud Ches that when Yisrael goes, when the Yisrael go to Eretz Yisrael, they must be very, very careful about Averus. V'leisoki o'oretz eschem b'tamachem eso oretz. Because if you bring impurities into the land will reject you. The land will throw you out. It cannot tolerate it. Now, you ever hear of that? Can you hear of that in New York? Paris? Johannesburg? That if you do Aveda, the land will throw you out. If you don't, no other place. This is why the Chinese can live in China forever. The Indians can live in India forever. But not Eretz Yisrael. Batoki as Oretz Eschem. The land will throw you out, will drive you out. Not the people, the land. And Abraham that understood this, he said, no. Can't accept it. Bamo'eda. This land cannot belong to any nation, to any people. And even if someone should happen to conquer it, they will not keep it. This land is above all people. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said, you're right. Question is a good question. You're right. But you're understanding what Eretz Yisrael is, but you're not understanding the type of son I'm going to give you. When I said I'm going to give you a child, I meant I'm going to give you a child that will be like Eretz Yisrael. Your child Yitzchok will also be a Kodosh. He will be physical, but with an enormous infusion of spiritual elevation. And so will his children afterwards. Fact is, Yitzchok became such a Kodesh after the Akedah, after the offering, that he never went out of Eretz Yisrael. He wouldn't go out of Eretz Yisrael. He always remained there. When it came to look for a wife, that's why Abraham sent Eliezer, and Yitzchok did not go himself. And this is the type of children that you'll have. And he said the illustration for this are the sacrifices. Because why should sacrifice says help to atone a person. The sacrifices, korbonis, were called kaporis. Kapora. Kapora means atonement, but the actual word kapora means to cleanse. When you have a garment, and the garment is soiled, if it's basically a good garment, except there's a superficial stain on it, then you can cleanse it. But if you have a garment that intrinsically is stained, then there is no cleansing. It says, the korbonis I have not given to any other nation, because it's no guarantee that korbonis will help them. But korbonis I have given to your children, because your children that are coming from you, and you, Abraham was the Amud, the pillar of goodness, they are intrinsically good. And therefore any hate, any sin by them, is merely a superficial stain. And all of these korbonis, these sacrifices which I am showing you, they will cleanse them. And they will be rejuvenated as to what they were before. While to other nations, I'm not giving the korbonis, because there's no guarantee it will help for them. And this is a sign. Abraham wanted a sign. This is a sign from the fact that I am going to give your children the korbonis, the sacrifices. This is a sign of what kind of child you'll have. You'll have someone, a child that's physical, but also with this infusion of spiritual elevation. And therefore, they will be the type of children that can conquer the land and hold the land. And even if they at times will sin and they'll be driven out of the land will reject them and throw them out. But it will only be from the superficial perspective. And they will be able to cleanse themselves again and then return to the land. And the land will return to them. And this is during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. What will be during the time when there is no Beis HaMikdash? Then they will study the korbanos, the sacrifices. Because korban comes from the word korav, to bring close. Sacrifices brought close the one who brought them to Hashem. And that lifted him above his hate, his sin. Torah also brings a person close. Can even bring a person even closer. And the Torah of the sacrifices itself had a special ability to bring a person close. So therefore Hashem said, when they can bring the sacrifices, good. When they can't, then let them read and study the sacrifices, and I will consider it the same as if they're bringing them. So this is an explanation in Abraham's question and in the answer. Now the Medrash brings other interpretations in addition to this. The Medrash in Os Yud Ches says, Gavaacha kecholi egle mishuleshes zubovu. Hashem said, take the three calves. He was referring to the empire of Bavel, because they brought forth three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Baal, Merudach, and Belshazzar. Eis Mishuleshes, three goats, that's Modai. They brought forth three, that was the Persian-Syrian Empire. They brought forth three kings, Kadesh, Dayovish, and Achashverosh. Eil Mishulash, the three rams, Uyovan. This was the Greek Empire. Why was the Greek Empire symbolic of the number three? So the Medrash brings, because they went to conquer the entire world, and they conquered the north and the west and the south, but the east they could not conquer. Three, in three directions of the world they conquered. And the Tor and the Gozel, and what was the Tor and the Gozel? That was Edom. That was Esav. Because Tor means a gazel. Gozel is a bird, but it also comes from the word gazelor, thief. And Esav was known as a thief. Now, so Hashem also had in mind to teach Abraham about the four empires. The four empires we've spoken about many times in the past. And these were the four great empires that would stand up. And each one would stand up against Hashem and against Yisrael. And each one would try to conquer Yisrael. Yet Bovel, they went and destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and sent us into Golus. And then you had Mordai Uparas. That was the story with Achashverosh and Haman. And then you had Yovan, the Greek Empire. They were the ones that marched into Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim during the time. That was the Hanukkah story. And then you have Edom, Esav, the Roman Empire, that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash and brought us into the Golus, which we are still in now. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avraham now about the four Malchus? Because firstly, Avraham was the Rishon. He was the beginning. And from him was to come forth this great nation. So he was showing him what's going to happen. And the greatest, from the greatest problems and adversaries that Israel will have throughout history will be these four empires. And these four empires will turn against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are at war with Hashem. And because they are at war with Hashem, they will be at war with Abraham's seed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Abraham's seed will be like one. And this is what is known as the Shibud Malchus, the Tzoris, the affliction that we will have from the nations of the world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I have to make this covenant with you where you will be protected from these empires. You'll have a lot of Tzoris from them, but they will not be able to destroy you. And this is what he showed him. And as a sign of this, he told Abraham, take these animals and divide them, cut them in half. The cutting of them in half was the symbol to destroy them. And Hashem will walk in between them, and this will neutralize their power. This was a symbol that even though they will stand up in every generation to destroy us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom, I will save you from their hands. And this he showed him when with the fire he walked through the split parts to take away their power, their keach. Then the Medrash says he also showed Abraham the Kriyas Yamsuf. In the Medrash Chof Dalet, in our parsha it states, V'hinei tano oshen v'lapid eish asher ova ben akzorim ha'ela. that a fire came through the gzorim, the pieces that were divided. In Tehillim, it is referred to as the also legeza yamsuf legzorim to the kriyas yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geza yamsuf legzorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the sea into different divisions. So the Medrash learns from here that Hashem also showed Abraham the splitting of the sea. Why did he show them the splitting of the sea? He was explaining to Abraham what kind of children they'll have and how great they'll become. He said they'll become so great that not only nations will not be able to destroy them, but they'll rise even above the very nature of the world, the Teva Olam. Not only will they rise above Egypt, but they'll rise even above the sea, where the sea will not be able to stand in their way. In other words, that even physical matter, physical forces of the world, will become null and void to them, and they will overpower them. This was the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And the illustration was when the fire came through the two divisions of the animal. So it was as if that the fire was breaking the physical animals, so will the physical world divide itself and be broken before Klal Yisrael. When they came to the sea, and the sea was in their way, geza yamsuf legzorim. Before Yisrael, the sea was divided. This is what he showed Abraham. Now this power that would be in the sons, this is the enormous level that they'll reach, this came from Abraham himself. Everything came from Abraham, because Abraham was the racious, he was the beginning of this nation. We find another medrash that states that when Abraham went to bring his son Yitzchak to the sacrifice, it says Vayevakeh ha'etzim. Abraham went and he split the wood. The word Vayevakeh is used also by the splitting of the Red Sea. It states Vayiboku ha'mayim. The water split. So the Medrash makes an analogy. But since it used the word Vayevakeh ha'etzim, that Abraham split the wood, and the same word is used by the Red Sea, Vayiboku ha'mayim, we learn that there's a connection between the two. And Bishchus Abraham, it was the power of Abraham imbued in the children that gave them the power to split the sea. What's the analogy? The Maral explains. Abraham reached his greatest height at the Akedah when he was commanded to offer his son as a sacrifice. It states, Basora Nishenis, Nisa Lakimas Abraham. Abraham was given 10 great tests. This was the greatest. When he agreed to give his son to Hashem as an offering, this was totally contrary to the human nature of the world. How can a person give his son to Hashem as an offering? and especially Abraham had waited 100 years for this son. And this was the son that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised would give birth to a nation of multitudes. How was he able to do this? Yet he still did it, and with great love. States with great love he did this for Hashem. So what do we see? That he was able to elevate himself beyond the nature of the human being. The illustration of this was when he split the wood. He was splitting the wood to use this wood to create a fire for the offering of his son. This was a level of the spirit of Abraham over the physical nature of man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the power you will bequeath to your children, that they also will be able to rise up beyond the very physical nature of the world. By Boku Hamayim. And this we see at the splitting of the Red Sea. It came to the sea, they were able to rise to a level, to such great heights, that nothing in the physical world could stand in their way. Egypt could not stand in their way. Pare could not stand in their way. The sea could not stand in their way. They were going to receive the Torah. So therefore, he showed him the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and this also was illustrated by the splitting of the animals and the fire going through. Then the Medrash says, the vulture came down and they wanted to eat the dead animals. Ravashi said, it says Vayashiv Avraham. Avraham chased them away. Nosav Avraham Makisha. Avraham took a stick. Vahava makish loham velo hayo hatshin. He took a stick and he started to try to chase them away. Afal became vayoshav esom Avraham b'tshuva. What did this represent? That there'll be a time when the children will lose all of their merit. They'll lose their zechus. They'll go off the way and they'll sin. And the ayat will come. The vulture will come to attack them. But they will be saved with the schus of Avraham. Avraham will bring them to tshuva. He'll give them the power to do tshuva. This is what was represented, that Avraham will drive away the vulture from attacking his sons. Now, one further note that the Medrash brings. You know, Schof Dalet. We learned that Abraham saw in his dream Sanur Oshon Velapid Esh, a furnace which was full of smoke and tongues of fire. There are those two expressions. The Medrash says, Shimon bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Yechonon Omar, Dalet Vorim Herolei. That Kodesh Baruch Hu also showed him in this dream four important elements: Gehenem, Umalchiyos. Gehenem, that was the Lapidesh. The tongues of fire, this represented Gehenem. Tanur Oshon, a smoking furnace, this represented the Malchiyos. These empires and the nations of the world that would stand up against Israel. The fire is much stronger than a Tanur Oshon, than a smoking furnace. Hanum is much stronger than the Malchiyos, than the empires of the world. So therefore the Tanur Oshon, the smoking furnace, this represents the Malchiyos, the empires. Lapidesh, the fire itself, this represents Gehenem. These were two elements. Then he showed them two other elements, Mahan Torah u'Beis HaMikdash. He showed Abraham that there will be a giving of the Torah and a Beis HaMikdash. Where is that in this prophecy? Because he told Abraham about the sacrifices. And the sacrifices, where do we know sacrifices from? From the Torah. These are all mitzvahs in the Torah. So when he showed them the sacrifices, he told them, Kach kosev b'Torah, this is what is written in the Torah, which I'm going to give your children at Har Sinai. So he showed him Torah. And where are the sacrifices performed? So he had to explain to Abraham that there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, a temple, and there is where the sacrifices will be performed. So he showed him the giving of the Torah and the Beis HaMikdash. So four elements. Dalet Dvorim Herolai. Gehenem u'Malchiyos. And Mahan Torah and Beis HaMikdash. Omalai. And he told him, Kol zman shebonecha asukim b'shtayim, heim nitzulim b'shnayim. If they will be fully occupied in these two, with Torah and Beis HaMikdash, then they will not have to worry about the Gehenem and Malchiyos. Pirshu mishtayim. But if they will forsake Torah and Beis HaMikdash, then they will be judged by the Malchiyos, the empires, and Gehenem. Then Hashem asked, now, what is the explanation of that? The Baral says, he says that the main mitzius, the main existence of this world is built on Torah and Beis HaMikdash. And the main antithesis to existence in this world is Gehenem and the Malchiyos, the empires. Gehenem, we know, it states on Gehenem, it's Sea of Acheshech. It's an abyss, a desolated abyss of darkness. So it's just the opposite of an existence. And the Malchiyos, the empires, Yeshayahu wrote, Kol Goyim Tohu. He says, these nations are like nothing. Now, when we take a person has a heart and he has a brain. The heart is in the center of the person. And the heart gives forth its nourishment to the whole person. He has a brain, that from the brain goes the seichel, the intelligence, and the spirituality to the whole person. And these two elements are the foundation of the existence of man, And man is the foundation of the, is the main existence of the world. Now, the Beis Hamikdash is similar to the heart of man. The Beis Hamikdash was physical, and it was in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says Yerushalayim is the center of the world. The Maral explains it doesn't have to be geographically perfectly center. It's not geographically perfectly center, but it means, he says, it's like the Tibor, the navel. The navel of man is considered in the middle of man, even though if you measure it's not exactly in the middle. This is Yerushalayim. Actually, the embryo is created through his navel. This is the beginning of his creation. States when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a Mishnah in the Sechta Yuma we brought not long ago, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So he started with a stone, and that stone is in Yerushalayim, and that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the most holy part of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, this represents the navel of the world, the Tibor HaOlam, the center. And just like man has a heart, the world has a heart. And just like the heart of man gives the physical nourishment to the whole body, from there went out brocha to the whole world. Mishnah Masechta Sota says that once the goyim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed brocha from the world. We no longer have brocha, physical brocha. It states the taste of fruit went out of the world compared to what was before. The Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that says that if the goyim knew what the Beis HaMikdash was doing for them, they would have helped build it, not yet alone destroy it. So this was the heart. Then this Torah. Torah, just like man has a brain, the world was given a brain. That's Torah. Torah came, the seichel, the intelligence, and the spiritual elevation to the world. And we always find that Torah and Beis HaMikdash are mentioned together. Like we say, Sein Chalkeinu B'Seirosecho, Hashem should give us our chelek in Torah, and he should be Beinaz Beis HaMikdash, and build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's because these two elements, these are the key elements for the life of the world. The two key elements of death, though, the opposite of life, the opposite of existence, is Gehenna, which is just an empty abyss, and the Malchus, the empires, which are totally destructive, like we see in the world. We mentioned many times that world history, the Chazal refer to as Hagoyim u'Milchameseihem, the nations and their wars. See, this is world history. They destroy. So therefore, this was shown to Abraham. He saw, Hashem showed him the nations, and he showed him the Gehenna. That was the Eish and the Tanur Oshem. And then he told him about the Korbonis, which are going to be written in the Torah, which I'm giving to your sons, and they will be performed in the Beis HaMikdash. If your sons are Asukim, if they fully occupy themselves with Torah and Beis HaMikdash, then they will come to the main core of life itself. You don't have to worry about the other two. But if they forsake Torah and Beis HaMikdash, then they will fall into the hands of the other two. Then the Medrash says, it says, they asked Abraham, Hashem asked Abraham, What would, in case your children sin, what would you rather choose for your children? The tzoras of the Malchias or the tzoras of Gehenna? Abraham wasn't certain. He said, maybe Malchias, maybe Gehenna. Two opinions as to what he said. Why? Because from one aspect, Gehenna is more appropriate. Because if someone becomes a Rosh, or it becomes evil, then he should be totally destroyed. And that's what Gehenna is. But on the other aspect, the Malchias is easier. Because the Tzoras from the nations of the world is not forever. And it's not Gehenna. So Abraham wasn't sure if he would go with the exact deen, exact judgment or not. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that said Bar Eloi Es HaMalchias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, he says Malchias must choose the Malchias for them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate, and the nations, the empires of the world, the tzoras that they give Yisrael when Yisrael leaves Torah and leaves the Beis HaMikdash, that tzoras makes Yisrael as if they're new, and because of that, then they can return to Hashem, and then he brings them back to their land, to Beis HaMikdash and to Torah. So these are some of the interpretations, insights in what took place in this prophecy and dream that Moshe had, that Abraham had, and it is referred to as the Brish Bein HaBesorim, which means the covenant which took place between the divisions of the animals, where he was commanded to bring all of these animals and divide them.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.